Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome on this rainy, windy evening here in Western New York. This is going to be a special Wednesday night edition of Western New York High School Sports Weekly here on Blog Talk Radio, presented by from the 300level.com. I am your host today, Francis Beck. You can find me on Twitter @FBeck300level. @FBeck300level. You can find me on Twitter there. This is our special Week 9 show, heading into the semifinals for playoffs, getting deeper into the playoffs for other sports like soccer, field hockey, volleyball, too. So we're going to have some of that also on our show. Today we have some guests on. We have James Mallory from Kenmore West. He was a class of 2005 graduate. He played there. He's going to come on in a few minutes and talk Ken West football with us. We have Dylan Guarino, the Kenmore East boys soccer goalie. Big game tomorrow against Iroquois in the sectional semifinal there in Hamburg, they're going to face Iroquois after they upset Starpoint last week. So it'll be good to have him on. We have Joe Kraus, the professor from North Tonawanda. He'll be calling in to give us an update on how NT's been doing. Obviously, the football team had the big loss in the game on Friday against West Seneca East that finished their football season. So he's going to talk about that and some other sports. And then to end the show, we'll have Pat Beltry from the 300level.com blogger and our St. Joe's insider. Obviously, the football team not doing so well, but very well. They got the number one seed heading to the playoffs. So we'll see how they're doing. Right now, we're going to go to our recap from the weekend of football. First round of the playoffs started this weekend on Friday and Saturday. A bunch of games we went over last week on Thursday. It was a good show last week with Dave DeLuca and Dennis Saro. So if you haven't done that, give a listen to that. Nice long show. We had great guests in. But for this week, we'll get started on the recap. In Class AA, Kenmore West defeated Hutch Tech 49-20. The game started off with a touchdown with a Tyler White fumble recovery. Overall, great game. Kenmore West. Hutch Tech was able to tie this bit. Was able to come into within 1 point in the first quarter, but Kenmore West showed their power and destroyed the Engineers. Terrell Ford had 4 touchdowns in the game. D'Angelo Walker Johnson had a touchdown of his own. His kid, 2 touchdowns. One was D'Angelo threw to Mark Taylor for 59 yards, and he also threw to Jameer Lynch for 14 yards. The big game, the upset of the weekend, if you want to call it upset, certainly the most exciting game was Niagara Falls and Jamestown, a rematch of the Week 1 game where Niagara Falls had the defending state champs on the ropes in the third quarter, but the Red Raiders came back and won it. still an exciting game, but the Wolverines were able to hold it out and defeat Jamestown, clearing the way for a new AA champion in not only Western New York, but all of New York State. Hudson had a big game. He caught a pass from Spurback, a 30-yard touchdown pass, and he took a kickoff 95 yards to the end zone. That was a 14-12 win. It shows that this all came down to conversions and extra points. Niagara Falls was able to kick both of their extra points, and Jamestown tried two-point conversions on both of their scores but missed. Devon Jackson, 6 yards in the second quarter, hit 6-yard run in the second quarter and a 3-yard run in the second quarter. But Niagara Falls defeats Jamestown 14-12. Jamestown is now officially done. The defending state champions are out of playoff contention. Orchard Park defeated. They won the other night. They will host Kenmore West. They defeated Clarence, and Lancaster will head to Kenmore West after they defeated. Trying to think of the team from the north. I don't have it in my notes. That would have been Lockport. They defeated, yes, Lockport. I don't know why it took me so long. But Lancaster defeated Lockport on Friday night. Sorry, I don't have the stats for you there. So Friday, Niagara Falls will head to Orchard Park in the semifinals, and Lancaster will head to Kenmore West. That is a rematch of last year's quarterfinals at Kenmore West, which Kenmore West destroyed the Legends. I believe it was a score of 42-10 or something big like that. So certainly a big game for all four of those teams this weekend. In Class A, South Park defeated Williamsville South 45-20 at All High Stadium. The Sparks gave it to Will South, scored early and often. Coleman had 2 touchdowns, a 41-yard run and a 22-yard run. Tyree Brown had a rushing touchdown, and he also helped converted many two-point conversions for the Sparks. Williamsville South, as our blogger Evan Manna last week told us, Jack Hoyette was not looking good for the game. He got hurt in the game against Williamsville North, shoulder injury on Thursday. He couldn't even, his arm was in a sling, so it looked, so he was not able to play on Saturday. Day in Class A, Iroquois pulled off the upset and defeated Surprise Star Point 21-0. Huber, to open up the scoring in the second quarter, Hubert blocked. There was a blocked 23-yard kick by Star Point. It was blocked by Iroquois, and Justin Huber returned it 78 yards for a touchdown. That put Iroquois on the board, and they finished them off. Chiefs finished off the Spartans in the second half with an quarterback sneak by Edwards and then an interception return at the very end by Velbo. That was the game I was at this weekend. Starpoint, obviously a great team this year. They were obviously hurt. Terry Rutland went out in the middle of the game. He had a leg injury. It looks like there is a broken, my report say he has a broken bone somewhere in the leg, not sure where, and he'll be having surgery on it in the coming week. So a big loss for Star Point in that game. That hurt them, but neither Tajayman someone got going, but it looked like for them that you could tell that they were definitely green. They weren't experienced in the playoffs as serious as Iroquois was in the playoffs. Those kids had never been to a playoff game before, Star Point having not been in the playoffs in a long time. So Star Point is out. Their undefeated season is over. Iroquois advances on. Williamsville North defeated Hamburg 28-0. The Spartans came out quickly. leading 14-0 into the end of the first and 21-0 at halftime, and put them away for good, not allowing Hamburg to score. The Lang brothers each had a touchdown of their own. Torrey Rogers had a one-yard run for a touchdown, and Cam Walter had a five-yard run for a touchdown. In the semifinals, Iroquois, after the upset, will head to All-High Stadium to take on, and on Saturday, West Seneca East will head to Williamsville North for the right to go to the Ralph. In Class B, we just have scores here, but a big night in Class B. This was a big shocker to everybody, almost a big upset here. Number one Alden defeated East Aurora 45-42. That took three overtimes. Yes, three overtimes for Alden, the number one seed, to defeat the eighth seed, East Aurora 45-42. Obviously, the Bulldogs have a lot to look at out here. Obviously, they cannot be happy with that performance they had, so they're going to be fixing a lot of things. Burgard, the game I was at Friday night, defeated Dunkirk 32-21. Running back, the Bulldogs are just using the jet sweeps with McCullough. I forget his first name. And he was running all over the field over at Riverside. Game by the Bulldogs. They advance on to the next round. Springville, we had Sean Verso on, one of their assistant coaches. They defeated Depew 44-28. They move on. The Griffins move on to the next round. And Cheektowaga, to finish out Class B, defeated Louport 44-26. 26 points, I believe, if I heard that right, was the most points that Cheektowaga has given up all year. So, obviously, a great season by Cheektowaga. We'll see how they move on. Next week, Burgard will head to Alden on Friday night, and Springville will head to number two, Cheektowaga. They will fight. They will go at it for the right to head to the Ralph next week. We're going to head down to Class C in the number one team of the North. Bennett defeated Allegheny Limestone on Friday night, 48-7, a blowout. Obviously, something that was expected. Obviously, that team led by Isaiah McDuffie, the junior who is committed to Syracuse for playing linebacker. Bennett looks to be right now the favorite, not only to win the section, but state, as they obviously are just a loaded team, and they have low bed numbers because there's only 11th and 12th graders there, and they only account, the bed numbers only account for their 11th graders. They probably should be a Class A or Class AA team, but they're in Class C, and they are the heavy favorite to win the state title. Lackawanna defeated Gowanda 26-21 there in the first round. Maple Grove destroyed Silver Creek Forester 41-13, and Cleveland Hill beat Southwestern 56-14. On Friday, Cleveland Hill will head to Maple Grove, the first team out of the South, and on Saturday, Lackawanna will head to Bennett, likely to be at All-High Stadium. On Class D, first seed Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley had the bye. They had no game. They had a bye with their number one seed. An upset, so they had a good week. Hopefully they got some rest. An upset in Class D. They had some disciplinary issues at Randolph, some key players. I do not know the names. I would not give them out. But that certainly cost them in their playoff game here, as they lose to Westfield Brockton 20-13. That's a 7 seed being a 2 seed. Westfield Brockton moves on. Randolph, defending state champions, certainly needs to pick up the pieces there, not only football-wise, but character-wise. Number 4, Cattaraugus Little Valley defeated by Fortville 23-21. Certainly a close game there. I believe it was a field goal. They won it on a field goal, Cattaraugus Little Valley, last second field goal. Number 3, Frewsburg, defeated number 6, Weimar Sherman, Panama, 26-22. A good game there. And the semifinals, they'll both be on Friday. Cattaraugus Little Valley will head to Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley for their first game, for Franklinville's first game in the playoffs this season. And Westfield Brockton, after pulling the upset and after their tragic year last year, they make it to the semifinals. They will head to Frewsburg for their right to go to the Ralph. We're going to bring on our guest for this evening, our first guest, James Mallory. We'll call him a Kenmore West insider, you could say. James, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. James, we'll start off with the current season, 2015, Kenmore West football. They just came off their big win over Hutchtech this weekend. I know you were at the game. What did you take away from that game, that dominating performance?
What I took away from it, one, I want to thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. What I really took from the performance, boys, they're hungry. They're locked in. If you see that team, you see a bunch of focused young men, and they had their eyes set on the mission, and they're going to get it. They're really locked into focus. That's one thing I'm noticing about them. Especially different from last year. You know, they were focused last year, don't get me wrong, but this is a different type of focus that they have this year, especially with the experience they have on the field.
Yes, and one of those, a lot of experience, especially from last year, they returned 8 starters from last year, a lot of talent, and they had a bitter taste in their mouth from last year. That team that got upset by East last year and then at the end of the season lost to Orchard Park. What have you seen overall from this year, the biggest difference between this 2015 team and the 2015?
It's just that experience, you know, and they understand that, you know, you got that killer mentality that, you know, every game, you know, you got to come in locked in, focused. You know, you got to play fast, physical football, and that's what they're doing right now. They're coming in focused. Last year against East, you know, you kind of thought, you know, they're going to sleepwalk through the game, and East was going to lay down, and they had another thing coming. You know, it was some growing pains last year. You know, you had a few guys that were still in there starting, even though they did a good job. You know, they just didn't have the experience. I mean, this year, every single position, you had the experience with all the starters you have coming back. Plus, the guys who came, who was filling in, they all played a lot last year. So it's not like they don't have any guys that really came up from JV who's playing a significant role. Everybody has played on the varsity level, you know, and they're battle tested, you know, and they just have to continue to keep pushing and doing what they do, and I think they'll be fine.
Obviously, this team was very close to the just a few points away from the Ralph last year, and they appear to be a better team. Do you think this team is excited about going to the Ralph? Or are they more focused on Lancaster, and they're not going to focus on the Ralph and all that comes with it next week?
Yeah, I think they're really focused at the task at hand, and that's Lancaster. They know Lancaster is a very talented team. They're a very capable team. They're locked in to focus on Lancaster. And, you know, you can't count your blessings before they come, you know. So they know they have to go out there at 2 o'clock Saturday and take care of business against Lancaster. And I'm sure they'll be excited, you know, if they're fortunate enough to win the game. They'll be excited about the Ralph and the opportunity to go there and compete.
I'll ask you about you this time. You're not the one to talk about yourself, but you had a pretty good career, I would say, over at Kenmore West, breaking various records, including, most points scored in a game, most points scored in a career, 330, various rushing records. One of your records was broken by your brother a few weeks ago against the touchdown record. What did you take away overall from your experience at being at Kenmore West Blue Devils?
I mean, it was a great, great, great experience. You know, it's a family, you know, and everybody that I played with, you know, we still all show love to each other, and it's nothing but great things, you know. I mean, all my guys I played with there, you know, when I went on to college, they all were my biggest fans when I went there, and, you know, when we still see each other, it's all love, you know. We don't shake each other's hands, we give each other a hug, you know, and I had so much fun and met so many friends there, and I'm always grateful for the opportunity to have been a Timberwolves football player for 4 years.
And you were a multiple sport athlete. You know, I would say I've noticed a lot of kids lately have specialized in one sport that they want to go to. So they'll only play football and they'll focus after playing it with their team. We'll do all those camps all year round. But you and your brother, like your brother Terrell, are true three-sport athletes, football, basketball, track. Do you think the fact that you played three sports in high school and decided not to focus on just football, do you think that made you a better athlete?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. If you look at, you know, all my teammates I went to college with, you know, every single one of them played multiple sports. None of them were only, you know, none of them would say, oh, I only played football. You know, everybody played football, ran indoor track or outdoor track or basketball or baseball or, you know, whatever the case may be there. Everybody on our team, I don't know any guys on my college team I played at the Division I level that played only one sport. Everybody played multiple sports because, you know, that sport, you know, like basketball can help you, you know, hand-eye coordination and things of that nature. Track obviously help you with speed, and you know, if you do high jump, you know, your explosiveness, or long jump, you know, being more explosive. You know, they all, you know, can help you in a major way.
Yes, obviously, it's in the news. With that, definitely you work on your whole body. So I have to ask you, you guys had success in your tender at Kenmore West. I believe if I heard right, you guys went to the Ralph yourself?
No, we didn't. We went. We won a consolation championship my senior year. We didn't have as much success as I would like, but one thing I can say is, you know, we always gave a ton of effort, and you know, we were always in close games. I mean, we weren't bad by any means, but we were an average team, but, you know, we're always competitive, but no matter if we were playing a team that would go to the route or, you know, a team that wasn't so good. You know, we always were a competitive team.
All right. So I guess about you, what's next for you? You're still looking for a job in the NFL. You're with you've been coaching a little bit. What's the plan for James Mallory coming up?
Well, what I got going is my company, United Athletic Services, which we help high school football players around the country get recruited. We've been doing it for a few years now, and we've, you know, been blessed enough to have a lot of success. A lot of Western New York players. I have over 20 players in Western New York that trained with me this offseason or, you know, played on my travel 7-on-7 team, which, you know, we're nationally ranked 7-on-7 team, United Athletic Services. Blaze, UAS Blaze. Got kids from Niagara Falls, City of Buffalo, Hamburg, Frontier, Canisius, all the major schools you can really think about. I got guys that's trained with me, Williamsville North, Sweet Home, you know, a bunch of schools. So that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, really focused on my business and really expanding that and, you know, continue to grow, you know. And also, you know, I am going to train today. If I get another call, you know, to get opportunity to play in the NFL, awesome. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm transitioning and preparing myself for post-football life, and, you know, that's what my business is about.
James, you bring up City of Buffalo. They have some great schools there, Burgard, South Park, who could be on their way to a state champion, Bennett, who's right now the favorite for a state championship in Class C.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a quick rise for some of those teams just coming into the section just maybe a few years ago. What do you think that attributes to that the city teams have gelled in so quickly with and almost dominated some of these divisions against the suburban school.
I mean, they have so much talent. I have Austin Neal from South Park is one of my kids. He's the best cover corner in Western New York, hands down. I'll debate that with anybody. I took him. He's on my travel 7-on-17. He went to the Washington D.C. and he shut down guys who's committed to major schools. He is major. Austin Neal is a major cover corner. Alex Dilley from Bennett. He's a state champion 100 meter track runner. He's a phenomenal athlete. I have Jason Dow, Al Gary, Kenneth Pittaway from Hutch Tech. All three of those, they led Hutch Tech team this year. They're phenomenal athletes. You know, I mean, they have so much talent in the city of Buffalo. You know, those kids are starting to, you know, understand what it takes to get to the next level, meaning training off season and preparing physically and mentally, you know, to be able to go out here and compete against any schools, you know, and they're really taking it serious. And they, you know, they came up to me and we really got some great work in, and their hard work is really paying off.
So, James, then I have to ask, you talked about all this talent here, and so do you think Western New York is full of hasn't been tapped into by coaches, or why don't you think so many college coaches come here to recruit?
Can you repeat that? You said, why do I think they do or don't come?
There's a lot of people say that we don't get as much attention as we should, or as other places do. Western New York doesn't get as much attention as other places do with football recruiting. Would you say that's because coaches just don't notice the talent, or is it something else?
No, I mean, there's a lot of different factors that play into it. You know, from working with players throughout the country, you know, a lot of those kids are more advanced, meaning here you have kids 13, 14, 15 years old, still playing little league football. Their, you know, their preparation is different. Their mindset is different outside of this area, where 13, 14 years old, they're preparing to play high school football. You know, here, a kid to go out and just play JV football, get a feel for it, then they'll say, oh, I'm going to my sophomore year, I'm going to take it serious. Therefore, the development, you know, kind of stunting their growth. So I can see where it is. Now, is the talent here that's not being discovered? Yes, of course. But, you know, as a whole, you know, our off-season preparation is behind here in Western New York. And that's why I'm here with my business to really try to help with that and put a stamp on it and be able to help kids really properly prepare for a football season. It's a lot more than going out there and just running on the field, running routes, doing things like that. If you don't have somebody out there that's instructing you on what you're doing wrong and what you're doing correct, you're not going to get any better. You can go out there and run 50 different routes 100 different times each day, but if you're not doing it the correct way, it's all for nothing. You know, so I think over the last few years, I mean, Western New York has gotten better. We're still behind, but I think it's gotten better, and I think that plays a role in why some college coaches don't come here as much as we would like.
Do you think some people suggest that the fall season here is too short? Do you think adding a few games to the regular season would make a big change for recruiting here, or at least more time for these players?
Absolutely. You got a regular season that's 7 games. I mean, that's kind of crazy. One of my clients in Mississippi, he thought I was joking when I said that, you know, the season here is only 7 games. They play 12 regular season games before they get the playoffs. So if you do the math, you know, a kid that played 3 years of varsity football here won't play as many games as a kid that plays 2 varsity seasons in Mississippi. So imagine that kid in Mississippi that plays 3 varsity seasons. They get so many more reps and so many more looks. You know, they're a lot more prepared in the eyes of college coaches because our season is so short here. I don't know what the factor is in that, you know, that, but, you know, 7 games isn't a lot of games, you know?
Yeah. So, James, we appreciate having you on. I'm sure you'll be at the game on Saturday. What do you expect to see? I don't know if you looked at this Lancaster team. How do you expect the Blue Devils to attack the Legends this weekend?
I mean, I went and I seen them on film because, you know, my brother and I, you know, we prepare with film. I make sure I prepare with a whole lot of hours of film each week on each opponent. But we watched them on film, and I seen them last week against Lockport. You know, they have a talented team, but I think, you know, if West do what they've been doing for the last seven games, I think they should be fine. It's going to be a hard-fought game. It's going to be a good game. But as long as West continue to do what they've been doing, they'll be fine. I believe they'll be fine.
All right. That's James Mallory. He's, if you haven't picked up on this, he's the brother of Terrell Ford. And we certainly wish his brother and all of Kenmore West football luck this evening, or on Saturday.
All right, well, thank you, man. I really appreciate you having me on, and you know, I hope to hear from you again soon.
And what was your business again for listeners out there who might have a child who is looking for your services?
Oh, no problem. Yes, we're on Facebook, United Athletic Services. This is the name of my company, United Athletic Services. We've got our website, unitedathleticservices.com as well. You can reach out to us on Facebook, reach out to us on our, you know, on our website. However, we're here to help.
All right. James, thanks for coming on today.
All right. Thank you. You have a good day, all right?
You too. That was James Mallory again, the brother of Terrell Ford. He's kind of a Kenmore West insider. You can find him on Twitter at NFL. Oh, I got to see it again. It's on our page. His Twitter handle's on our page under one of the tweets for the show. So you can find his United Athletics on Facebook. If you have a student athlete, or you're a parent of a student athlete who thinks they can take the next step after high school into playing football on the next level, you can contact him and he can help you out with recruiting and coaching. Right now we're going to bring on, he's at a party right now, a get together, Dylan Guarino, the boys soccer goalie at Kenmore East. They have a big game tomorrow. Dylan, how you doing this evening?
Doing good. The team's here, spaghetti dinner before the big game tomorrow. Everyone just relaxing, getting their minds ready for tomorrow.
All right, Dylan, the game I have to ask you about is, I guess what money would call an upset, star point, that 1-0 game. What was the key to that, I guess, upset, if you guys even thought that way?
Well, basically, we went and watched them play against Amherst a couple weeks before the game, and we noticed that they really looked for Sam Wagner in the midfield, their number 13. So what we did was we played a 4-5-1 and clogged up the midfield. So we basically took him out of the game. And then we noticed at the end of the first half that they were looking to exploit our left back. So basically, we just overloaded the left side and forced them to play on the right side, which they were weaker in. And as long as we stayed organized in the back, they weren't going to have very many chances. And the chances they had from 25, 30 yards out, which is no problem. And in order to be successful on offense, we just had to keep feeding balls up top to Cullen and then Papoosh, who was subbed in later in the game. And then eventually, we ended up countering on Gage. And as long as we made the most out of the little chances we had, we should have been fine. We were. We knew it was going to be a defensive game on our part, and they were just going to come out flying, and that's what happened.
All right. Your season, that's great analysis, by the way, of your game plan, the best on the show I've ever had. So your season, you got off to a slow start, Grand Island, Niagara, Wheatfield, then it picked up with, I believe you had a 5-game winning streak, and then you tailed off towards the end. What do you think happened at the end of the season, and why were you able to pick it up come playoff time?
Well, I think when we went in to play North Tonawanda and we lost 4-0, they're one of the worst teams in our league. I think everyone, we just lost all of our confidence after that, and then we went on to lose our next 2 or 3 games. But then the West game, really, it's a big game. Everyone knows East-West rivalry. You want to win that game. If you do, it's a huge confidence boost. If you don't, you know, everyone just talks about it. You lost. You lost to West. It's not a good feeling. So we knew we had to win that game. And by beating West, they're a large school, so we get more points in our sectional bracket. So we needed to win that game to get more points to be seated in the 5th or 6th position in order to even have any chance, because if not, we would have to play a pre-quarter, and that's just not good. You got to play the best team first, and no one wants to do that. So by really beating West, just kind of turned everything around. Everyone got back on the same page. We were clicking how we were at the beginning of the season.
All right. So, Dylan, tomorrow your big game, you have, I believe it's the semifinals, or the finals in your bracket against Iroquois. Final in your bracket against Iroquois. What has Coach Friedenberg told you about this Iroquois team?
Basically, what he only went and saw about 25 minutes of one of their games, and what he realized was he went and watched Hamburg, who is playing against Grand Island. They're two of the best teams in the state right now. He went and watched Iroquois versus Hamburg, saw the first half, and what he noticed was they're a big, strong, physical team. There's really no one that stands out skill-wise. We looked at their stats. There's one kid with 8 goals, and then everyone else on the team has 2 or 3 goals. So we know they all can put the ball in the back of the net. But what we gathered how they play is they're just a big, strong, physical team that'll just use their strength and just get the job done. It didn't look very pretty, and he said the goals that they scored were weak. But what we need to do is we need to come out, and we can't get scored on early. If we get scored on early, then the game will just go downhill from there. So we need to stay strong in the back, stay organized. And basically how the star point game is going to be, we're going to have to stay strong, clog up the middle. We're going to just put probably Chad on the back of their best player and just take him out of the game, give him no chances, give him no breathing room. And then hopefully Tanas should be healthy to play tomorrow. He said he's going to try and play. Hopefully he doesn't go down early in the game again because he's a huge part up top. We haven't had him on. We've had him for maybe 2 or 3 games all season. And if he could play tomorrow, that'll be a huge bonus for us. We just want to look to counter fast, score early. If we score early, we'll be in great shape.
All right. Dylan, before I let you go, what would you like to say to the fans out there who might be coming to your game tomorrow?
I would just like to come out, be loud. We know they're going to have a lot of fans there, so we're going to need a lot of support. And it'll be windy, so dress for the occasion. It'll be cold out.
All right. That's Dylan Guarino, the goalie from Kenmore Race Boys Soccer. I believe it's 5 o'clock tomorrow against Iroquois at Hamburg, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, Dylan, we appreciate you having you on.
No problem, thank you.
Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right, that was Dylan Guarino again, the goalie for the Kenmore Race Boys Soccer team. They have a game tomorrow at 5 o'clock against Iroquois. That's their final in their bracket there against Iroquois. The winner goes on to take on, I believe, the winner of the A1 bracket against, which will likely be, I believe, Grand Island or Niagara Wakefield. So we'll see how that plays out, and we'll get that. Right now, he's been on hold for a while. I'm going to bring in the professor, Joe Krause. I think it's the professor, at least. Joe, how you doing?
This is Pat Veltri.
Oh, Pat Veltri. I always get you two. You guys have this like similar numbers. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
All right, Pat, obviously St. Joe's had a tough game against St. Francis. Blowout, I believe, 42-20. Mike McCarthy didn't play, I believe you said. So what did that Joe's team take away from that St. Francis game?
Well, obviously, this is a tough loss for the St. Joe's team, mainly what they've been struggling this year with his injuries, especially on a defensive front. Main guys like Jake Bomberski, David Lauer, guys like that. Darren Thompson also did not play, so they've struggled quite a bit with the loss of those players. Fortunately for St. Joe's, Darren Thompson's going to be back, hopefully by the start of the playoffs. Now, they received some pretty good play from Garrett House at cornerback. He's a sophomore who just got called up from JV, and actually on one of his first plays from scrimmage, had an interception. But other than that, St. Joe's just struggled on defense. Their offense has done all right under Jalen Nelson, who is a junior who's run the offense really well. But injuries just killed the St. Joe's team. They're still a confident bunch. You know they can give Canisius, Randy some time and run for their money, but it's going to be tough, and they're hoping to get some of these guys back by the time the playoffs start.
All right, and those playoffs start, I believe, in 2 weeks, I believe, correct?
That's correct. They play McDowell out of Erie, PA this weekend in Erie, and then they will face St. Mary's of Lancaster in a play-in game, and then eventually that will lead to the semifinals and what could possibly be the finals at Rebels Stadium.
All right. Okay, now we'll go over to soccer. Obviously, you said last week that Joe's got the first seed with their great record in Montezuma, and they got the first seed in the playoffs. Can you give us an update on how the boys' soccer team is doing?
Absolutely. So St. Joe's faced off against Nichols and St. Joe's last Friday at 3 p.m. So basically, Nichols got off to an early start. About halfway through the first half, Nichols scored the first goal of the game. With about 4 minutes remaining in the first half, Dallin Mindler evened things up for St. Joe's, with Tyler Gretchen and Max McArthur picking up assists. That made the score 1-1 at halftime. After the second half started, St. Joe's really did come out flying. Midler on his corner again directly put the ball into the net untouched, something you never really see in soccer, but the corner went directly into the net. Then with about 10 minutes remaining, Midler scored a hat trick, which ended up being the real game winner for St. Joe's. And then, sorry, let me check out my stats here. Ben Galkowitz and Dalton Meachley assisted with, Evan Scales put the final goal in for St. Joe's. That made the score 4-1. Now, Canisius won in overtime later that day, so St. Joe's and Canisius will face off for the third time this season at Niagara at 2:30 on Sunday.
All right, it's Niagara, Canisius and Joe's, this, right?
Yep, Canisius and Joe's this Canisius Saturday
and Joe's.
At 2 p.m.
This area, 2 p.m. at Niagara. So soccer's doing great. Can you give us an update on volleyball, how their season's going?
St. Joe's volleyball has been struggling quite a bit lately. They've just been hanging in there with some of these teams, but haven't been able to pull out the victory typically in that last set. They've been hanging in there. They've been doing a decent job, and hopefully they'll be able to get a streak of wins going together here, and we'll see how they do in the playoffs.
All right, Pat. Anything else from St. Joe's that we should know about?
No, I just think this is going to be a very good game on Sunday with St. Joe's and Canisius. Canisius won the first of the two matches, and St. Joe's really did take it to him in that second game. So it's going to be a very good grudge match between both of these schools this Sunday.
All right, that's Pat Velshire from the 300 Little Blogger. He's our St. Joe's insider. Pat, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Right now we leave Pat, and we're going to go to our this is going to be Joe Krause, the professor from NT, our North Carolina Sports Insider. Joe, it's been a tough weekend over at NT this weekend, but hopefully it hasn't been all bad.
Well, good evening, Francis. First of all, thanks for bringing me on. And just very quickly about what Pat was saying about Canisius and St. Joe's, that should be a very good game Sunday. But, yeah, last Friday against Westlake East, it was a tough one. 42-10 was the score, but if you weren't there, you missed a lot about what really happened. It was much more than beyond the scoreboard. You know, when NT briefly took that 10-7 lead, it was Cody Sikora on the 10-yard touchdown run, and then Joe Darwich had a 15-yard field goal to put us up 10-7. I thought that things were going to go in our advantage, but Ray Johnson, just, I don't know if he's on track or not for Westside East, but if he isn't, hopefully they get him to sign up. That kid is amazing. A 75-yard touchdown return, and those are the type of plays, Francis, that basically changed the game. And from there, the Trojans did what they did against NT last season. John Dolak, he had an unbelievable night for the Trojans again. I believe he had 4 touchdowns for them, if I'm correct, but and they're going to be a tough test for Will North. I think Will North is still going to beat them because of Wong and Tadia and all their playmakers. But West Nike East, you know, just the ground-and-pound team, they seem to know their game plan. And NT just sadly, unfortunately, made a bunch of mistakes. 5-3 record, same as last year. But compared to where everybody was expecting NT to be at the beginning of the season, bringing in a new coach, a simulated and shortened offseason, which this upcoming offseason is going to be critical to how the team goes next year. You know, head coach Henry Fumarelli, he just told me the other day that he's really excited to get their offseason going in a couple of weeks, getting the weight room regimen, which I've mentioned before, they want to get back up again. But, you know, just the seniors overall, They had a great fight this year. You know, they were able to shock a lot of people in Western New York. Joe Dyerwich is going to be the big guy to come back for Ed T next year in the backfield. Led the team with 10 rushing touchdowns. And they're going to lose three offensive linemen. They look for using Octavio Roy Corse and Hayden Holmes. But they're going to have their center back and Jordan Holmes, their quarterback especially, Zach Woodard, who is finally healthy, should be ready to go for the basketball season. But there's still going to be a lot of playmakers ready to come back for NT. And I agree with exactly what Coach told me the other day, that if the seniors, if he took over, if he had one more year with the seniors, they would have had a very successful run. But just an unbelievable run with those guys, and I was just proud to be a part of it.
All right, Joe, one of the big things from that game was John Dillick III. He came out briefly for an injury but came back in. Could you tell what the injury was from your angle?
You know, I almost missed the injury, and then I saw him go to the sidelines. It looked like it was a little bit of a leg injury, but he was able to come back in the second half. I would say a leg injury. I wasn't really sure from where my angle was. Again, I was doing the play-by-play. I couldn't really see where he went on the sidelines. It seemed like he still had a little bit of a limp when he went back out there, but it wasn't really noticeable because he still had the four touchdown night. I would put him as probable. I mean, again, I'm not with the Trojans. I'd say he's probable, but we'll just have to wait and see how he does against Full North.
All right, moving on from football, or we'll actually stay in football. One of the big shockers from the weekend was Starpoint losing. Obviously, you know a lot about them being Class A. It seemed like those guys were green in the playoffs. Not, I believe they haven't been in the playoffs for a very long time. Were you surprised by that?
Honestly, I was. From what I saw against NT when they came to the Lumberyard, this looked like a Ralph-bound team. They haven't made it to the Ralph since 1989, and looking at who they had, Terry Rutland, obviously a big loss. When he went down, you knew that it was going to be a tough day. But, I mean, Aaron Chase was only a freshman quarterback. You have to give him some slack on that. A heck of a season, especially coming in as the backup quarterback midway through the season. They're able to take over and continue that offense. Terry Rutland and just the rest of that backfield for the Spartans was basically the success. And I honestly thought that they were going to be a Ralph team, go up against South Park and possibly win the Class A title if it went out that way in the bracket. But, you know, I didn't really get a chance to talk with Coach Kevin Arrow, but he's been around for 16 years. For Western New York football, and he knows what he's doing. And Starpoint, is going to be one of the top teams again next year.
All right, Joe, moving from football, volleyball playoffs start this week. How have the boys and girls teams positioned themselves as they head into the playoffs?
Well, starting with the girls, they're back in action tomorrow night in the 8-9 matchup. They're going to be on the road against Sweet Home in the Class A bracket. I want a little bit of a down year, you could say. Not an overall disappointing year, but I think the girls knew that they had a lot more potential this year. Things just didn't go their way. But an interesting 8-9 matchup, a rematch of last year's home playoff game for NT, their first home playoff game that NT eventually won. But, you know, Gabby Hansen and Lena Metzger and Kayla Higgins, those three, they've been missed deeply this year, and they're not going to be with them for this postseason run. But Liz Wilt and Julie Milbrand, they're the veterans on this team. They've won the past two NFL titles. Ken West won it this year, but they have two NFL titles under their belt. They have a lot of postseason experience. Hopefully those two can lead the way and continue their season, because it seems like they have a lot of potential. It just hasn't really come out yet. As for the guys, they're off until November 3rd, back at the log cabin, as we like to call it, against Hamburg. They're the number 4 seed in the guys' bracket. They lost to Grand Island last week, last Friday actually, for the NFL title, and like I said last week, it would have been their first league title since 2007. But sectional run, head coach Luke Hodgson, basically he's preaching the same thing that he's been preaching since the first day of the season. He wants to hang a banner, this time for sectionals. And looking on paper and seeing them in practice yesterday, they have plenty of talent to do it. Victor Wilson, obviously the top guy coming back, fourth year on varsity, the leader of this team, and head coach Luke Hodgson, I got to talk to him during the preseason. He said he's their main guy, the core of what they do. He said if Victor has an off day, you know that something's wrong. So Victor Wilson is going to be heavily relied on against Hamburg, who, from what I heard, when they played St. Joe's the other night, Hamburg's going to bring something to the table. A couple of other guys real quick, Ed Gaff, especially, he and Chris Pauline, they were named to the Grand Island Tournament All-Star Team on Saturday. But the guys, they have a very good shot of going very far in the sectionals this fall.
All right, Joe, before we let you go, anything else in Lumberyard that as the fall season wraps up has caught your eye?
Well, the cross-country team is continuing their season on Saturday at NFL's with all the rest of the teams in the Niagara Frontier League. Chris Vance is the top guy to watch. On the guy side, he's had the top times for the guys in every single event so far this year. On the girls' side, Leah Mance and Emily O'Brien have been leading the way, and the Slominski brothers and Nick Krause have been doing very well this year as well. We're going to have a full preview of the NFL this weekend, letting you know what to keep an eye on for NT on Logs from the Lumberyard later tonight. And also real quick, Francis, the Sal Capaccio from WGR 550 is going to be coming on the Sports Corner this Friday. And I just want to throw this out there to any of the listeners. If you have any questions for Sal, we're going to be talking about the Bills, mid-season review. If you have any questions about if Rex Ryan is on the hot seat or just any concerns about it, doesn't even have to be about the Bills. It can be anything about football or hockey. Just use hashtag AskSal. You can tag me at the ProFancy, and hopefully Friday we'll be able to get to it.
All right, Joe, thanks for coming on today, and we wish you luck as the seasons roll on at NT.
Thanks, Francis. Appreciate it.
All right, that was the Professor Joe Krause from North Tonawanda. Obviously, the football team, he's, as he said, lost this weekend the first round, 42-10. Lady Jacks volleyball underachieving this year as they head into the playoffs against Sweet Home. So a lot of things going on at the Lumberyard. So right now, before we forget, thank our sponsors, Daniel Beck, attorney at law. His office is at 3290 Genesee Street in Cahuaga, New York, 14225. You can call his office to make an appointment for any real estate or estate planning needs at 716-253-6500. If you need any insurance need on your for auto, home, and commercial insurance policies, you can go to the Paul Wolf Agency at 2686 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore, New York. You can call them at 716-835-WOLF, 716-835-9653, or visit his website at www.paulwolfagency.com. You know, to finish up the show, our last game that I was forgot to get to Monsignor Martin. Obviously, we talked about Joe's big loss to the Frannies this weekend. Then the other big game, Monsignor Martin, Canisius, after their loss against big loss against Aquinas. Come be honest, there that wasn't as big of a margin as I expected. You know, that game, obviously, time was a better team, and Canisius is not what they once were last year. They obviously lost a lot, as we talked about on our show last week. So Tymon and Canisius are closer than we thought. 28-0, the Crusaders beat Tymon. So we'll see. The Crusaders now lock up the number one slot heading into the playoffs in a few weeks. for Monsignor Martin, the favorite to go to the Ralph, but you're not sure anymore. Well, there still would be the favorite as it's set up to still stay Catholic champions. Obviously, this year Aquinas is going to have a lot to say about that. When Canisius goes to the championship, then if they win it, Aquinas is certainly going to have something to say as they beat the Crusaders. That'll be interesting when we get to that in November for them, something to keep an eye on. But going back to this weekend, a lot of great games for Section 6 playoffs. Again, these teams, they win, they go to the Ralph, and a lot of these teams will be tasting the Ralph for first time in a long time. Kenmore West, as we talked about, James Hillier was on. They were just a touchdown away from going to the Ralph last year against that team led by Dylan Janka in Orchard Park. They were in that semifinal game. It was that East game was definitely a turning point for them. After they lost, they got their stuff together. They took out Lancaster, I believe 42-10, 49-10. Took them out. They had Lancaster again this week, so I expect a lot from this team. This team is a lot more focused, a lot more experienced. That's the key that they've been saying. 8 starters from that team last year, and they played a lot. It's Ford, Walker Johnson, Taylors, which are not brothers, Mark and Jason Taylor. Mark obviously received some praise on for his character in the high school area here. So this is a very good Kenmore West team. I do not see, unless Lancaster is able to do something amazing, this Kenmore West team should be able to again defeat Lancaster, and they should be heading to the Ralph next Friday night. Class A, looking at those final teams, I would say South Park is the favorite right now, but you got to remember Will North, they last time they were in Class A 2 years ago, they defeated Sweet Home and they won the Class A title there. So it is, I guess you could say, as close to defending champions, it would be Will North. They are the closest to defending champions. They should be able to take care of West Seneca East. Obviously, John Dolek and that offense, Ian Dolek, Ray Johnson, they'll be a tall task to take on, but Williams and Morris should be able to beat them, and Iroquois should take care of, I mean, South Park should take care of Iroquois, so we'll have a good matchup next. We should have a good matchup in the Ralph there. Class B, Alden, 3 overtime game, almost upset as the number one seed. Obviously, they have a lot to taking care of this weekend. E. Rich Neuhaus was there keeping track of the game. Three overtime. So I kept an important eye on that game because I was at the Burgard Dunkirk game, which Burgard had the game once Dunkirk scored first. Burgard came back and they had control for most of that second half except for a turnover where the quarterback Jameson was trying to make a play and he ended up fumbling and the fumble was returned for a touchdown. That swayed the momentum in the Marauders' favor, but they weren't able to take it any farther, really any farther, and Burgard was able to pull that one out. The win there. They're certainly a fast team. They'll be a tough task for Alden. If Alden had trouble with the East Aurora, unless they take care of stuff, Burgard could easily pull off that upset. And then Springville and Cheektowaga. Cheektowaga, the defending Class B champions from last year. Springville, the upstart team, kind of. Really getting their stuff together this year. That'll be certainly a fun game. Some power, two different styles there. Springville, the power game, full option with the former NT coach there. And Cheektowaga, they're always good this year. But they haven't quite been tested this year. Some say that they're better than last year, but they lost a lot of pieces from last year, and Lou Ford put up 26 points on him in the seventh seed, and Ellie scored 44. So Cheektowaga, this game here is going to be a certainly interesting one. I could totally see the Griffins going in and pulling off the upset. Class C with Bennett, they should be able to take care of business against Lackawanna on Saturday. That game will probably be at All High. Cleveland Hill, Maple Grove. It should be Maple Grove's game as the number one seed out of the division there. So certainly that should be, again, Bennett is the favorite to win Class D. And Class D, the upset. Westfield Brockton defeated Randolph. Randolph obviously hurt by missing some key players, and that wasn't due to injuries. They need to take care of some things beyond football that certainly cost him the game. So get your act together, I guess. That can show you that you really need to keep your act together or else your season could end. That's what happened to Randolph. So obviously Franklinville, Ellicottville, West Valley is the one seed out of there. They should be able to take the title. Monsignor Martin, we kind of talked about that. That looks like it's going to end up as Canisius' time in St. Francis, and then Joe's or St. Mary's. That's how we should enter into the playoffs just a few weeks from Monsignor Martin. Canisius, not the same team as last year, as we said, but they will likely still head to the state Catholic champion, and we'll see if they can pull off a second straight title. So I think before we go here, we're going to, again, thank our sponsors, Daniel Beck, Attorney at Law, at 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga, New York, 14225. Set an appointment with him at 716-253-6500. And the Paul Wolf Agency, 2686 Elmwood Avenue, Kenmore, New York, 716-835-WOLF for all your insurance, home, auto insurance policy needs. We had a great show today. Great interviews. James Mallory talked about Kenmore West football and what he does, and overall about high school sports and high school athletes here. If you're a student athlete looking to maybe play football on the next level, you can go to him. It's at United Athletics. You can find him on Facebook. We'll have a link to that on our Twitter page in a few moments here after the show. We had Dylan Guarino on, the Kenmore East boys soccer goalie, and that was we've had some good player interviews on the show, but I've certainly best analysis so far ever on the show is Tim Dillon, being an analyst in his future, the way he was able to talk about their strategy and what they did against Starpoint and what their plan is against Iroquois. So he did a phenomenal job. Joe Krause, professor from NC, we had him on. A lot going on with North Tonawanda, a lot of games coming up, girls volleyball and that. Over there, their underachieving season, lacrosse country is doing well. And then Pat Belcheri from the 300level.com blogger talking about St. Joe's sports. He did a great job. Again, on this Saturday, Big King Canisius and Joe's will be at Niagara. I believe it will be Niagara University. They will take on each other. Two Catholic schools going to the Catholic University. That should be a great game there on the turf. So thank you all for listening today. And you can find, again, this show is presented by fromthe300level.com, we cover everything, high school sports, NFL, college football. Head there. We're a nice local site. We also have some national writers. And we help kids who want to head into the profession of journalism especially sports journalism. So thanks for listening tonight, and come back next week.